talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 75.
75.
Got Phoebe here with me.
Hi.
Guess what, Phoebe?
What?
I'm so tired.
Me too, but guess what?
What?
Actually, this doesn't mean anything for you, but for me, I only have one more day of school and then I have a whole week off.
You know what, though? That does mean something to me.
It means you don't have seminary. That's true.
I am going to be a lot less tired because not having to make sure kids are up and ready means I can sleep like till the very last minute, get out of bed, take a shower, and go to work.
Hey,
I don't have to stay up late working on homework with kids.
I actually went easy on you. I skipped seminary twice this week.
Yeah, so those of you who may be new to the podcast know that Phoebe goes to early morning, basically Bible study, we called seminary, before school, leaves here at about 5:50 a.m.
Let's be real, it's more like 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. It runs from 6 o'clock to about 6:45.
Yeah. And then I go straight to school.
And I've been driving Phoebe.
But
we missed a couple days this week. Although I still, like this morning, woke up.
But I bet when you got back to bed.
Back to bed a little bit.
It still felt so good to lay down.
I was still tired, but I've been really tired. This week's just kind of been brutal.
Oh, yeah.
It's been busy at work and it's been busy at home, and I'm so ready for a break. I'm ready for Thanksgiving break.
Me too.
I've got a conference call tonight, a work call at 10:30 at night. So that'll be fun.
That seems late.
It's a little late for a work call.
Who is it with?
People. Work people.
Jake from State Farm.
It's not Jake from State Farm. I don't think.
What are you wearing, Jake from State
Farm? There's a lot of people
State
on the
Farm.
Call. I didn't check to see if he's on there.
Who are you calling this late at night, Dad?
It's going to be so... I'm so ready for a break. I'm ready for the holidays. I'm ready for... Because I think next week, you guys have off school all week. I have work Monday, Tuesday, and half a day Wednesday. So I basically get a half a week off work next week. So
yeah,
I'm super excited
about
that.
And then Friday, do you go back to work Friday?
No, I get half a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off. Mm. Also, hopefully Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
So we'll see. Maybe I'll get caught up with my rest and relaxation. And I plan on eating next week.
You know what I plan on doing?
What?
I actually have a list. But among those things is studying.
Yeah. Are you going to eat also on Thursday?
I don't think so.
No, because I'm going to fix a big meal and invite relatives over.
I'm going to eat Thursday, but I'm also going to eat Saturday because my friends are having Friendsgiving.
You're having a Friendsgiving?
Yes, we are.
Friendsgiving is a thing lately. I think I first heard of it either last year or the year before.
It was on a show, but it's also just fun.
It was on a show? Is that
where
it comes from?
Yeah.
Friendsgiving is like...
Was it on Friends, though? Because Friends
was
old.
It was not on Friends. Friends was a long time ago. I never heard Friendsgiving back in the 90s when Friends
was
on. No,
it wasn't on Friends. I'm just thinking of Friends because it's got Friends in the title.
Yeah, it sounds like... Sounds like something that Friends would do, but I only heard of it like maybe 2 years ago was the first time I heard of it.
Maybe. I want to say like Parks and Rec. I don't feel like that's it, though. Something similar.
I don't think it was Parks and Rec. Maybe some sitcom, but
no,
it's just sort
Parks
of a cultural
and Rec
thing.
Was Galentine's Day. It's like just a thing.
And you know what else they have on Treat Yourself? You know what else they have on Parks and Rec?
Do they have Parks and Rec on Treat Yourself?
Yes, they do. They have.
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
You know, that would have been a great segue if we were about to do Treat Yourself, but we're not.
We're not. But that's from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I'll have to.
I really like.
Someone tweet us. Tell us.
I like Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite holidays.
It's a good holiday.
It's a good holiday. I like holidays that are about being thankful and eating.
Those are both good things. Those are both things I enjoy doing.
Yeah, I mean, for some people, it's about football. Occasionally, I'll watch some football, but I'm the only one in the house that really cares about football, and I don't care that much.
Sports.
And, you know, for some people, it's about shopping, but...
Ooh, I want to hit up, not like hardcore Black Friday sales. I'm not really like, going to go to Best Buy and get a phone or whatever.
But you're interested in doing some shopping. I'm also thinking about, so I have asked, I think the last podcast was with Henry. The podcast before that was with William. So I will ask you the same question I asked them, which is becoming more and more relevant every podcast. Is it too early to be in the Christmas season?
No.
Good, because the boys thought it
was. Definitive no.
I'm thinking about putting the tree up before Thanksgiving.
You need to. I'm surprised you haven't already put it up in like September, Dad.
I'm excited about it.
You know what I love about being a musician? That sounds so like pretentious.
That sounds like
an
awkward segue too. Like just as we were talking about musicians and you.
No, it's not as we were not talking about it, but there's no like seasonal creep for musicians. Like every year it gets closer. You always start listening to Christmas music because you start playing it in like October or for me, like September. Because my piano teacher went on maternity leave for like 2 months. So we got Christmas music early.
So that's one of the reasons I feel like the Christmas is sort of seeping in my consciousness because you guys are playing Christmas songs on the piano.
Mm. We had started a while ago, but
why not start it early? Because Christmas is awesome.
Yeah.
That's my attitude. Christmas rocks. You can't really have too much Christmas. Now, there are some annoying things, like some Christmas songs are super annoying, but that doesn't matter.
But I still kind of love them because they're Christmas in a way, just like how I love candy corn, not necessarily because it tastes really good, but because it reminds me of the fall season.
You know, I think I made it all the way through Halloween and halfway through November without having a single candy corn.
I ate a lot of candy corn.
It's not something that I tried to do. It just happened.
Yeah. I had a lot because I made them. I used them in invites for my piano lessons for my Halloween recital I had.
My thing about candy corn is the first like 2 to 3 candy corn are actually pretty good, but it goes quickly downhill after that.
Diminishing marginal utility?
Exactly. You really can't eat a lot of candy corn because they don't taste good after that and you don't feel good about yourself.
You know, I know a lot about diminishing marginal utility because happens to be an economics term. Speaking of which,
and economics is one of the 10 events at Academic Decathlon.
Academic Decathlon, which
so how's that
I
going
competed
for you,
in a meet last Saturday.
Okay, you know what? That deserves a round of applause because that was a very well executed segue.
I thought about doing it earlier with what was the thing that I there's something I was going to segue into earlier. Anyway, yes, I had a meet.
Your first meet of the year, first academic decathlon meet.
And it was pretty hard because
you've been studying for a while. You started studying like almost June. After state last year.
Well, they released right the guides in over. June. Well, May. Late May.
So
I started in June.
When was state?
State was...
Wasn't state like in May or was it earlier
February.
Okay. So a few months went by.
So there's a little bit of a break. And then, well, although they released the topic in the book right after state. So I probably read the book because we read it in class too, to kind of like, I read the book in like maybe March or April.
And I think in May, Spider-Man Homecoming came out. So when you go to a meet now, is it like suddenly you feel like it's super cool because of the Spider-Man movie?
Was it cool in Spider-Man?
Yeah. I mean, Spider-Man and all his cool friends.
Spider-Man wasn't cool. That was like the point
Peter
of the movie.
Yeah, but it kind of was though, because he was going to like a academically gifted school. So all the kids in the school were all about the academics.
Sadly, this may surprise you a lot, but it's actually not much like Spider-Man.
Isn't it really?
Yeah, I know that's shocking. Although friends that the coach in that movie reminded me of our coach like a lot.
Is there any web slinging? No. An academic decathlon?
There isn't in the movie either. Not at the meet.
There was a lot of web-slinging in the movie.
Yeah, when he skips his meet. You don't do that
in
the academic
true. He
decathlon
did skip.
Meet. But no, the coach reminds me of our coach. Yeah. He's just like chill, but like...
Who was the coach? I'm trying to remember. It was played by an actor that I really like. And I can't think of his name.
Oh, well,
no,
I don't
have
know.
To Google it. Keep talking.
Anyway... He reminds me of Mr. Fane. But I went, it was kind of a harder meet because even though it wasn't like a huge one, like I went to last year around this time of year, we were competing mostly against large schools and our school is a medium school. So it's all these schools that we normally wouldn't compete against at regionals or state that are, it's a lot more competitive among those, even though it's pretty competitive for medium schools. But despite that, I got first place in science. And first place in economics, and third place in language and literature. And then I got fourth overall.
That's an impressive showing.
Mm.
It's a very impressive showing.
Oh, but, okay, if we're just looking at the medium schools, I actually got first place overall. And our school got second place among the medium schools. And, yeah, if it was just the medium schools, I think I would have medaled in, like, pretty much every single event. So.
That was really good, though. Yeah. So, and part of that's got to be because you started studying so early. So you were probably one of the best, most prepared kids there.
Not the most.
Don't you think? But one of the most.
My arch rival, Martin Jennifer Star. Morse, beat me by like 100 points.
It was Martin Starr plays the coach.
I don't know who he is.
He's a very funny actor. He's been in a lot of things. He's a good comedic actor.
All I remember about his character really is that he reminded me of my coach and his one line where he goes, where they like had the student, you remember how they had the student broadcast and it was like super bad? Very realistic, by the way. The terrible student broadcast. But they were like interviewing all the people from the academic decathlon meet, and the coach goes, I didn't want to lose a student at an academic decathlon meet. Not again.
Yeah.
It was like this funny moment.
He's a really funny actor. I think he started out on the show Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, yeah.
But he's been in a ton of different things. He's actually, I'm looking at his credits here.
Oh, Freaks and Geeks is academic decathlon, too.
He had a part in Parks and Recreations, too.
Was he on the academic decathlon team in Freaks and Geeks? Probably. Is that why they cast him?
Well, he was definitely one of the geeks.
Yeah, that's funny.
But he was a lot younger then, but yeah, pretty funny. He's a really good actor, but he was pretty funny in that role. Like, he played it kind of straight.
Yeah.
But,
So,
humorous.
Yeah, that happened. That was good. Actually, if you look at our team, our A students and B students, we kind of had like a clean sweep because among the medium schools, we were in the A team and the B team, because there's three teams, we were first and second overall. And the B team, we were first, second, and third, like individually. So we did really good. The only thing was we have a really kind of sucky C team. So we would have been like totally first by like a pretty big margin, but
it's a tricky thing finding like that really smart slacker.
Oh, and we didn't do a great job at that this year.
But do you think the team overall is going to be pretty good?
Yeah, I think we will. And I think the C students will shape up. One guy didn't show who was supposed to be on that team, and he will now because he looked at that and he goes, they kind of need me. And then the other person, yeah, I think they'll shape up a little bit. But yeah, I think it's going to be a good year. Definitely better than last year. I think we'll definitely get top 10 in the state, which is kind of our goal usually. We were 11th at state last year by like a really small margin, which is really kind of rough. But, oh yeah, and yesterday I had my speech and interview competition.
Yeah, tell them what you decided to do. Tell our podcast audience.
I think it's
all of our listeners what you decided to do your speech on. I should maybe give it on the podcast.
Someday. Bonus. We can have like a bonus episode that's just me reading my speech.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty.
It's entertaining.
Yeah, so.
And it actually ties into a question we asked on this very podcast.
I know, I'm pretty sure it did.
We did, yeah.
But, so, a little bit of background. The speech competition, it's not really a competition. It's just us and our little school that's next to us. We just have a little mock one so we can practice giving our speech before we have to do it at, like, regionals. We usually have two.
You could
so
say.
So it's not a big deal, but.
You could say that your speech is based on.
What I just said was
it is a hypothetical scenario. So basically, I tried really hard to write a speech about why schools should eliminate the ranking system. And I thought
like
class
ranks.
I thought I wanted to write a speech about it, and then I tried to write it, and I was like, wow, I hate this, and I can't write a speech on this because I tried and tried, and it just didn't go anywhere. So then, night before, I was like, you know what? I'm going to rewrite it. So I rewrote it, and I rewrote it about whether it would be better to fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck.
Very good.
Do you know what my favorite line from that speech is?
Tell me.
So I'm talking about.
You gave the speech to me, and I was very impressed.
Yeah.
But what's your favorite line?
My favorite line is, I'm talking about methods of fighting the duck-sized horses, 100 duck-sized horses. And my favorite line that I say is, of course, there's a lot of drawbacks to the scenario. After all, as the old saying goes, you can lead 100 duck-sized horses to water, but you can't make them drown. So. And I was really
somehow
happy because.
It sounds profound, but it also makes me a little bit sad inside.
Yeah, it is a sad thing, but...
I don't like to think about a lot of miniature horses drowning.
Do you like to think about getting mauled by a bunch of little horses?
No, not really.
It's life or death. You gotta do what you gotta do. But I was happy with how I did. I didn't do good. I actually did a lot better than I thought I would. I think I got like a 900 on speech out of 1,000. So, which I didn't deserve. But
was that just practice in class?
It was a competition. They like recruit teachers to judge, which is actually how they do it at the real competitions.
Uh-huh.
But
so it was a competition, but just within your school?
It's us and the nearby high school.
Oh, okay. The high school down the street.
Yeah, so we do it together, and I think in a few months we'll have another competition at the other high school. But they're little mock ones that they do just to get us ready. So it's
like a mock competition.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's just two schools, but graded the same way you would be graded.
I think they grade a lot harder, actually. Although this one, I swear, I didn't deserve that score.
You did pretty well. I mean, that's 900 out of 1,000, right?
Yeah. Although I heard the other school was really bad, and all of them were just reading off the paper and like had written it the day of. So maybe they were giving me extra bonus points for being better than that one. But
do you have it memorized?
Pretty much.
So you can kind of like look at the paper now and then.
Yeah, I was like glancing down at the paper, but you're supposed to have it completely memorized, which I don't.
Be able to say it.
Yeah. But
But you can have your notes there, right? It's not disqualifying?
It is. Well, it's not disqualifying. I want to say there's a penalty for it, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're supposed to have it memorized. I think you're allowed to have a note card, but you can't read off of it is the rule.
Well, it's a short speech, so there's no reason you couldn't memorize it.
Yeah, 3.5 to 4 minutes. So it's long enough that it's not easy to memorize, but it's not... So you should be able to memorize it. So I definitely will by the next time. I just wrote it the night before. Probably could have memorized in that time, but it just wouldn't have been like... It would have been a stressful thing to do. But so I did that, and I was really happy because the thing I was most worried about was that the judges just wouldn't like the speech. Because I feel like funny speeches are kind of like hit and miss. Like they're mostly, like you're not, there's no rules against it. But I was afraid that they wouldn't get the humor of it. Because it's a really dry kind of humor. I really deliver it like it's like a super important issue and like.
I think they will appreciate it. And I think also, especially like at a tournament where they've heard kind of boring speech after boring speech. They'll appreciate that it's a little bit unique.
The teachers, I knew two of the judges, which... I was not happy that when I figured out that it would be teachers that I knew judging me. But both of them told me the next day, they were like, oh, thank you so much. Because all the other speeches were just so heavy and like, I loved it. It was so unique. Like, but so I was a little worried like they wouldn't, I don't know, like they wouldn't think it was funny and they would just think it was like dumb.
No,
they really liked
it.
So I'm really happy because I think once I really polish it up, it'll do really well.
And it's well organized and it's persuasive and it gets to the point. So I think it probably will do pretty well because, like I say, it'll stand out from other ones that are like about, I don't know, civil rights or something.
They're all a little bit like
poverty or.
Well, and some of them are really well written speeches. But the two teachers told me like, thank you so much. It was so different from everything else. And it was so like, which made me really happy. I don't know if the third teacher liked it as much.
You know, that's the one potential drawback is you might get some teachers that are like, really?
The other teacher was a coach, though. All the coaches, like, kind of scored, like, really harsh for one thing. And I also just feel like, I don't know, his sense of humor might not have been as... But most of the people grading are going to be, like, actual, like, teachers. Yeah. Sorry, coaches. But they're going to be real teachers or, like, former academic triathlon coaches. And they'll probably be, like, they'll probably appreciate, like, kind of that sense of... humor. But he gave me an 8 on originality and I was like, you know, I thought it was pretty original, but
do you want to hear an old family story, like so old it was before we had kids, about memorization?
What?
I may have to cut this from the podcast because it's about mom and she might say that it's too embarrassing for me to share with all of our listeners.
You've shared more embarrassing things.
Probably. But so
you don't have to tell her, Dad. So you can just find out after it's published.
Yeah, and then she'll get mad at me if I think I need to tell her ahead of time. Here we go.
Family archives?
What secrets does this ancient repository of power and knowledge hold?
So your mom and I got married in college. We were both students. We both had about a year or two of college left. Got engaged while we were in college. We're still still had to finish college. Your mom was an English major, and one of the classes she had was an English literature class about Chaucer. And as part of the class, she had an assignment where she had to memorize the prologue from Canterbury Tales. And I had memorized it in high school in my like AP English class, I think it was. And she had like this mental block about like, I'm not good at memorizing things. I don't want to memorize it. I can't memorize it. And I was like, yeah, but you have to. It's an assignment. She's like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I remember like, I was like, yeah, you can. You can do it. And I like drilled it with her. Like I followed her around, like repeating it to her. And she'd repeat it back to me like in the morning and like while she was showering and right before class. And I like pounded it in her head and finally she memorized it. And I think to this day, she remembers it better than I do.
Do you remember it?
I don't know the pronunciations, like the old English pronunciations, but if you got me started, I could probably say most of it. But I think I think mom still remembers all of it.
So she's pretty good at memorization.
Like when that April with Shura Sutta, the drought of March hath pierced to the root. Have you ever... You ever read any Canterbury Tales?
I have not. I know what they are, but I haven't read
them. I think I could probably kind of sort of fake my way through it. I could probably memorize it again really quickly, but I think mom still remembers exactly it. But I remember that was like, it was a real defining moment for our early marriage because I think she realized just how persistent and annoying I could be. But it helped us get where we needed to go.
That's good.
She realized that my persistence is annoying, but it's a good thing for our family.
Sometimes.
That's my take on it. She probably has a completely different take on it. She probably just thinks I was annoying. But she did pass it, and she was able to do it.
I'd love to hear that story from her perspective.
Yeah, maybe we'll get her on sometime, and she'll have equal time. If this whole story doesn't get cut from the podcast, we'll have to see.
I don't think... That's not that bad.
Let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
All right. We try to hit all of the very important, hard-hitting news. I've got a news story that came out today, November 16th. This is November 16th from National Public Radio. A Japanese train company had to make a public apology. In a written statement, they said, "We deeply apologize for the severe inconvenience imposed by our customers." Do you know what they did?
I do, but I'll let you tell it.
One of their trains left 20 seconds too late.
So that was too early.
Too early, you're right. It was scheduled to leave at 9:44 and 40 seconds, but instead it left at 9:44 and 20 seconds.
You know, I saw that you posted this on Facebook.
Yeah, they issued a public apology. They blamed the fact that the crew did not check the time, resulting in the slightly early departure around 9:45 a.m. I really like the story because it's just so Japanese. Like the trains run exactly on time.
Yeah.
Like if you don't know any Japanese, or usually they do the announcements in English too, but if you're just sitting on a train and you know that the train's going in the right direction and you know what time it's supposed to arrive, just get off the train then and you'll know you'll be where you're supposed to be. 20 seconds too early, and so they apologized. They said that it can be disruptive because it stands to reason that at least a few people would miss a train if it left 20 seconds earlier than usual, even if there's another coming in 4 minutes. Adding 4 minutes to that leg of their commute might cause them to miss other transfers along the way to other destinations, with the effect snowballing enough that they would end up being late for work or school.
Yeah.
It's a very Japanese story. It makes me laugh just because... I don't think anyone in this country would ever expect something to be like that punctual.
Yeah.
Like as long as it's within a few minutes, it's like, yeah, all right, whatever. Made me laugh.
I agree.
Do you want to tell us one of your stories?
So the one I chose was why Tiffany is selling a $1,000 tin can. Tiffany is hoping that its glittery new $1,000 tin can will help catch the eyes of millennial shoppers. Or maybe it'll be a $9,000 spool of yarn that does it. Or a $10,000 bird's nest or $425 protractor.
And the thing about this, and I'll post the pictures.
All in sterling
but
silver,
the tin can looks just like a tin can. Like a can that would have like soup in it.
Yes.
It looks like that. Except it's shiny because it's covered in sterling silver. But it doesn't look There's nothing special to it other than it has some silver on it.
Well, that's what the millennials want.
A tin can.
Yeah. It says, this iconic jeweler recently announced a new luxury home and accessories collection of everyday objects. The line was born out of the notion that beautiful things should not be limited to special occasions, Tiffany said. Which I really don't, I don't understand that part of it.
I don't quite understand it either.
I read that sentence a couple times because I was like,
this is a real head scratcher.
Beautiful. I was like, I had to read it a couple times because it seems like it should be backwards. It's saying that not only beautiful things should be limited to special occasions, but also ugly things.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of fashion, particularly like today's fashion, just reminds me of like
modern art.
Spending more money than you have to.
Yeah.
If it's expensive, it must be fashionable. And that's what this reminds me of. Like, we'll get something really basic and make it really expensive and then convince you that you need it now.
Yeah. It says, functional was not a word used by many social media users when describing the collection. This says, for when you have way, way more dollars than cents, says another. And then on Instagram, one commenter wondered, what am I to do with a worthless $10,000 bird's nest? But online snark doesn't mean Tiffany missed the mark. If they can create a little buzz around it, the line will be viewed as a victory. So it's just saying a lot about how they're using it to try to attract more millennial customers. The reason I chose this article was that I feel like as a millennial, I need to go on air, not on air, but I need to go on record as saying this is not what the millennials want.
Yeah, you don't think that millennials want sterling silver balls of yarn and
no, we're trying to pay off our student loans.
Yeah, that's what's weird is like only super rich millennials might be interested. I thought the millennials were like
don't have a ton of resources.
Need to be careful about buying avocado toast because otherwise they'll never be able to afford a house.
We're also in general, I mean I'm a younger end millennial, so I'm not exactly like I'm still living at home, but like the rest of the millennials. But I've seen a lot of studies that show that they're better at budgeting and they're more careful with money than other generations because of like the 2008 financial crisis and stuff like that. Like they grew up
in a time when the economy was not super great.
So they've generally been better about saving money and like a little more financially responsible, which I don't know if everyone would agree with that, but I have seen a lot of,
and like real estate's really expensive. So it's like it's going to take you a long time to be able to own your own property.
Yeah, but I have seen that they're generally think harder about spending money. So why Tiffany's would do this confuses me.
It is strange. It makes me wonder.
It just seems like,
it sort of feels like does Tiffany's really need like a publicity thing?
It actually does have, later on it says, the collection could solve two of Tiffany's big problems. The store is suffering from reduced foot traffic and isn't attracting millennial shoppers. So it's saying that really, even though people still do it, it's more that people just buy it for like a special occasion gift or something like that. But yeah, it kind of seems like it was fabricated by somebody who was like kind of an old person, didn't really know much about millennials, and was kind of like, so we need more millennials. Millennials like stupid stuff. So we'll just do something really stupid and then they'll all buy it.
What would you think if someone gave this to you as a gift and they told you that tin can,
I would sell it,
costs, what is it, $500 for the tin can?
$1,000.
This tin can, isn't it beautiful? It costs $1,000.
I would sell it. I feel like maybe I couldn't do that because
it would be a useless gift though.
I would return it definitely and buy like nice jewelry. Like millennials like jewelry. Like, we're not, again, like, cute little necklaces. All those necklaces that you always see on Twitter that are, like, your boyfriend's. This one actually, okay, strikes me as a little creepy now that I say it out loud. But they sell those necklaces that have, like, the geographic, for, like, long-distance relationships, like, the coordinates of where you live or whatever, and you give it to your, like, long-distance girlfriend, or, like, the ones that have, you see all sorts of cute little, like, jewelry things. Like, they like, it's not like they're, like, millennials don't like necklaces, so you know what they will like? Tin can.
And I sort of understand the aesthetic of like something that's just purely functional, like an actual tin can that you might put like some paintbrushes or pencils in or something. Like... But the cool thing about it is it's just a tin can.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost $1,000. You're just like Sterling recycling
Civil,
it.
I like can't enunciate today, so I'm really sorry. But
because you're tired like I am.
Maybe. But sterling silver burlap.
Yeah, exactly.
Rustic chic.
A ball of yarn that's actually like silver coated. That's just so odd.
Fun story about necklaces. Off topic. One of my judges, because they told them to judge our appearance, see if it was professional. So this one, I guess she was just trying to find something, but I thought it was weird. But she said necklace maybe, like wear tights, and then it said necklace maybe, but she spelled it neck, like the part of your body, and less, like less of it.
Necklace. So it's just a head floating above a body.
So I read, it's I told it to my friend, I was like, yeah, they said necklace maybe, and they go, they were confused. Like they thought, like, do they want you to wear a turtleneck? Like...
That's pretty funny.
So sorry. Fun little anecdote there.
All right. I've got another story. Scientists make terrifying discovery in the Atlantic Ocean. Scientists have discovered this. I'm showing you a picture.
It's ugly.
Isn't that an ugly dude? This ugly dude is a living fossil. It's called a frilled shark.
Do you know how much living fossils are worth on Animal Crossing?
Lots.
I think it was like...
Coelacanths, I believe, is what
like
you can catch on Animal
bells.
Crossing. But this is a frilled shark. It's similar to a coelacanth in that, like, they kind of assume these guys were extinct until they found one. Guess where they found it?
Where? Animal Crossing?
Off the coast of Portugal.
I was thinking maybe they discovered an Animal Crossing.
It's got hundreds of teeth. Look at all the teeth that guy has. I'm going to post a picture of this on Instagram or Twitter after the episode comes out, but it's got
kind of
all
like
these
cute
teeth.
Ugly, but I think he'd look more cute ugly without all the teeth.
It kind of looks like an eel, but it's got these gills around, like where it's if a shark had shoulders, it would be like where the shoulders are. And it's just weird looking.
Kinda cute.
It says it has this one was 5 feet long, although apparently they have found longer ones before. Hmm. They say that it hasn't changed in like. What do they say? Millions of years? I don't know how they know that, but, you know, some sort of fossil record, I guess.
Proof that evolution's fake.
It has odd gills that stretch along its throat and have frills outside of them. It's harmless to humans, apparently. It will not attack humans, and it uses its teeth to grasp on to other fish and sharks and
he's so good.
And like octopuses, and it just kind of catches them in its teeth and strains them and swallows them.
He's really cute, and I really love him.
Do you like it? Is he cute? I don't think he's cute.
He's really, really ugly. No, look at those little
pretty
eyes.
Pretty darn ugly.
Oh, I think he's cute.
Yeah.
He reminds me of you a little.
Shark. So they're really uncommon. Part of the reason why they didn't know if they exist anymore is because normally you find them at very deep parts of the ocean, like below. It usually is from about 500 to 1,000 meters down. But this guy they found off the coast of Portugal when they were doing a study of fishing and overfishing.
Mm.
So pretty exciting. It's kind of
cool
when
they
find
stuff
like that. Yeah.
She'll be like, oh, look, there's a little living fossil. She go sell it at Tom Nook's shop for 90,000 bells. No.
All these really ugly
teeth. Was it
even 90?
I feel like it was more than that.
It was a lot.
300,000
Was that the best thing you could get?
Yeah. And you could pay off like your entire house with it.
Yeah.
It was like if you went super late at night with your net to catch bugs.
Super late at night. And, they were really big. So you could kind of see the shadow was really big.
I just mixed up the words science and summer.
Science and summer?
I'm really tired.
They're both words.
They both start with S.
Yeah.
I said science, and I was like, no, that's not the word for that season. It's something that sounds a lot alike, and then I go, nope, it's not its season.
Yeah.
Summer.
You didn't want to do the other news story?
Oh, well, I was just going to do one.
There's another good news story.
Wow.
I liked it. Where is it? I'm going to grab it.
It's over on the counter.
So there's a couple of reasons I like this news story. One, because it involves Florida Man. And two, because it involves an emotional support animal. A Florida man is fighting his condo association. Association for the Right to Keep His Pet, who he has, the pet he has registered as an emotional support animal. Henry's over here. Henry, guess what animal he's trying to keep as a pet and an emotional support animal?
An alligator?
Good guess, but no, that's not it.
Snake. Turtle?
Henry guessed alligator. William guessed snake from the other room. It is a squirrel, an emotional support squirrel. Ryan Bolin, who lives in Island Walk Condominiums in Clearwater Beach, said he rescued Brutus the squirrel last year in the aftermath of Hurricane Matthew. He found the squirrel trapped under someone's car. Ever since then, I can't imagine not being around her, Bolin told WFLA-TV. Brutus came to the property management's attention in April when she was chased up a tree on the property by a dog. Bolin's condo association sent him a notice last month telling him to get rid of the squirrel or find a new place to live. She's just like an inside cat. She walks around and hides pecans and hazelnuts, which are her two favorites, Bolin told the TV station. Bolin registered Brutus as an emotional support animal at website registermyserviceanimal.com after obtaining a note from his doctor in July. The doctor's note says Bolin suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder stemming from a car accident. Do you have an opinion about emotional support animals?
I think they're good.
I think they can be good, but I think there are a lot of people, and I'm going to take a position on this. I think an emotional support squirrel, I think that's a little bit of an abuse of the whole process. And getting it registered online.
I don't.
It's like the animal. It's not like a service animal that's been trained to do.
It's not like he just like.
Yeah, but doctors will give you a note for anything.
Yeah,
it's not like the doctor's probably never even met the squirrel.
I don't know. I think
and it's not like the squirrel is trained to do things. Like a seeing eye dog has to go through rigorous training, or like dogs that are trained to be service animals. Just registering your pet online so that you can be kind of a nuisance.
I don't know. I think you don't know this man's life, and he's probably been through a lot. I don't know. I kind of feel like
Henry's joining us.
Okay,
briefly.
I just want to say that. I don't know. It kind of bothers. I mean, I get what you're saying, and I think there's some truth to it. But I also feel like people disregarding emotional support animals are kind of, in a way, it's kind of disregarding mental illness.
Yeah, actually, my opinion on it is that it would work as one because you did like save it. And it's sort of like a reminder of him saving something.
I kind of feel like it's invalidating mental illness.
I get what you're saying. But I think there's probably better treatments you can get than keeping a squirrel in your house.
Maybe a squirrel, but I think in general.
And the other point I will make is sometimes these people impose their animals on other people. Like I saw another article. I didn't print it off, and we won't be talking about it. But there was a lady whose emotional support pig went crazy on an airplane and had to be removed. You're bringing a pig onto an airplane as your emotional support animal. But the pig's not trained to be around that many people. It can be a problem.
Yeah.
Consider other people. I don't know. Maybe it's not really hurting anyone to have a squirrel around the house. It's a little weird, though. Squirrels are basically just tree rats.
I appreciate it.
Squirrels are just tree rats.
So are bunnies. Bunnies are pets.
Yeah, bunnies are gross, too. Don't bring a bunny inside the house.
I'm going to get a bunny.
They poop all over the place.
I'm going to get a bunny when I grow up so you never visit
me. An emotional support bunny. And you can pet it.
I just feel like it bothers me.
And you can hug it and pet it and name it George.
I don't know. I understand, and I think it's true, but also a lot of people always make fun of emotional support animals.
It's because
and I do feel like invalidating
there's a reason for it.
No, when you invalidate emotional support animals, you're invalidating mental illness because you don't doubt a person who's physically handicapped for having an emotional support.
But
emotional
maybe they need real treatment and something that will actually help.
Okay, but
them.
When you say real treatment, I feel like you're saying that they don't have a real disease.
No, I think he may have real problems and a real disease, but I don't think having a squirrel running around his apartment hiding nuts is going to help him.
I just disagree with that. I think the squirrel, whatever makes him happy, makes him feel better. It's making him happy and feel better.
Do you want to do a dad quiz?
Sure.
Dad quiz. That's pretty good.
Do I need my phone for this?
No, I've got it on my phone, so I've got a BuzzQuid fit. Buzz, I can't
We're
talk
both
either. We're
struggling.
So tired. BuzzFeed quiz.
Man, I can't wait for when school's out in the science.
And this is a Thanksgiving themed BuzzFeed quiz. I'm going to talk really slowly so that it works. Is your Thanksgiving dinner normal is the name of the quiz. It's fairly fast.
Okay, so we can take this together.
We can take it together, and I think we know kind of what our traditional Thanksgiving's like. I mean, we do it basically the same way every year. So I think we'll probably agree on the answers. The first question is, what time do you usually start eating Thanksgiving dinner? First option is, if it's later than noon, we're behind schedule. Next one is, sometime around mid-afternoon. Early evening, 5 or 6 p.m., or regular dinner time.
Say mid-afternoon.
Yeah,
sometimes
I would say so, too.
Sometimes it may venture closer to 5.
Around mid-afternoon. I mean, it seems like we plan for...
like 2 or
around
3.
Around 2, but it takes
it
longer to
like
get everything together.
Like, yeah,
or the
like
turkey's not
the
quite
latest.
Cooked yet. So it's like 3, around 3 probably. 57% said what we said. It was actually the highest vote getter. Sometime around mid-afternoon. So I guess we're normal that way. How much do you eat during the day leading up to dinner? The options are nothing. Must devote 100% system capacity to Thanksgiving.
I always try to do that.
Next one, just breakfast, no lunch. I eat normally? Question mark. Eat extra to expand my stomach for dinner, you amateur.
I think just breakfast, no lunch.
But
then there's
we
like
eat close to lunch, so it's not like we're really skipping
well,
a meal.
But
I agree with that answer.
We have like 2.
I agree with that answer. We eat breakfast.
I mean, I think the caveat there is that you kind of snack. I feel like you snack on like little things.
And we're normal in that way too. 49% said just breakfast, no lunch. 24% said nothing. 23% said I eat normally. And 4% said, eat extra to expand my stomach for dinner, you amateur.
Wait, what percent was that one?
4%.
Oh.
But you can't eat a whole lot before Thanksgiving because you just, that would be gross. All right. Do you believe in eating appetizers before dinner? And the options are better not to. That space is reserved for mashed potatoes. Or, of course, people need something to keep them from perpetrating violence.
Of course.
I think the answer is yes, because
we always have those little cheese, those
little stuff to snack on, and usually we'll have guests.
Turkey thing that
like my
bring.
My brother and his family are coming over, and they usually bring some, like, you know, even if it's just like
they
carrot
bring
sticks
that
and dip.
Cheese ball turkey thing.
Yeah, 62% said, of course, people need something to keep them from perpetrating violence. Next question. So we have been normal every single question so far. Next question is, does salad have a place on the Thanksgiving table? Ugh. The answers are no leaves allowed, sure, whatever, it's mandatory, gotta have some roughage to keep everything else moving.
Sure, whatever.
I kind of think the answer is no leaves. It's not that it's not allowed, but
we
it's not
salad,
one of the traditional sides. There's so many other sides that we usually don't prepare.
I
don't think
we
usually
don't.
Do. I mean, unless you call like a fruit salad or something.
I'm thinking.
But usually
no,
it's,
I guess we
it's
don't.
Like potatoes and
yeah,
yams
you're right.
and
you're right.
rolls and maybe some green
well,
beans.
I
but I don't think
we've
salad.
We probably had salad before.
I mean, we have salad like for Sunday dinner a lot, but not for Thanksgiving dinner.
I guess we don't. The true American way.
Ooh, and this one was close. So that was not, you know, I think we're somewhere in between
well,
the two.
Well, we were kind of, yeah, we weren't even
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so no leaves allowed was 41%. Sure, whatever was 45%. And I could go
Wait,
either way
on
that
one.
On the other one is it's mandatory, and that was only 14%. But that's
I
definitely.
I wasn't sure whether sure, whatever it's mandatory was one or two.
No, it's mandatory is definitely not the way we feel about it.
Yeah.
All right, what's your chosen side carb? And the answers, the
Ooh,
options
so
are
many.
Dinner rolls, bro. Biscuits, baby, cornbread, compadre, some other kind of alt carb, none, side carbs are a useless distraction. Okay, so of the ones
useless,
they put there...
That's disgusting. I can't
I know,
believe anyone
horrible.
Would say that.
That's horrible. Of the ones they're talking about, dinner rolls, although almost everything is a carb when it comes to Thanksgiving other than
yeah,
the turkey.
Yeah, well, at first, when I first heard that, I was like, oh, they're talking about like...
It's like mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes.
Yams.
Corn casserole.
Corn casserole, exactly. Everything is kind of a carb except
yeah.
for the turkey itself. Mm-hmm. But
and the cranberry sauce.
What they're talking about is what kind of bread, basically, and I think dinner rolls.
It's the dinner rolls. I mean, we have something that's cornbread-like.
Definitely.
Corn casserole.
Yeah.
But it's kind of something else.
And dinner rolls, bro, was the overwhelming favorite at 60%. Nothing else cracked higher than 12%.
What was the next one? Probably cornbread, right?
It was cornbread, yeah. But biscuits was at 11%. So biscuits and cornbread were kind of both.
I wouldn't mind biscuits.
Biscuits would be good, but they're kind of a lot of work to make if they're going to be good.
Well, because otherwise they're gross.
Yeah, to make them good, it's a little bit of work.
A good biscuit is really good.
A good biscuits are good, but they're hard to make.
Most biscuits aren't good biscuits.
Yeah, I mean, I don't make them that often, so I'm not that good at it. A bad biscuit's not that good.
No, but
there's a real range when it comes to biscuits. Like, excellent biscuits are the best.
Oh, yeah.
Bad biscuits are the worst.
Peak biscuit I've ever had in my life was in Louisiana, in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Do you remember that restaurant?
Yep.
They had gumbo.
It was good.
They had... Oh, I'm going to cry.
It was at Daisy Duke's in New Orleans.
So good. So fluffy.
They were really good.
We had it with our, like, alligator gumbo or whatever.
Yep.
So good.
Next question.
But nothing is... Well, my point is that nothing stacked up to that sense. I don't think.
Hmm?
My point is that I don't think anything since that is really, really stacked up.
Well, there's a chicken place around here that has good biscuits. Babes.
Oh, you're right.
They have good biscuits.
But it still wasn't as good.
But they have
biscuits that are so good that I wouldn't, like, question them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like the biscuits they have, like, at a Popeye's.
Those are pretty good. Biscuits are pretty good.
They're not bad. Even, like, a biscuit at McDonald's, like, their breakfast biscuits, not bad.
Well, but they're not.
But we're talking, like, we're sort of... It's starting to diminish.
They're better than homemade.
And everything, anything worse than McDonald's is not that good.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair enough.
Okay, next question. To baste the turkey or not to baste? There's only two options. One is baste all day, baste all night. And the other one is, you know, that doesn't actually do anything, right?
You brine the turkey, right?
I brine the turkey. So that's a completely different issue. And I used to brine it like in water. And the last... year, and I think probably I'll do this year, I've done a dry brine where you just rub the bird in salt and spices and then keep it in the fridge for a day. So I'll probably do a dry brine again. But basting, I think if I had to choose between these, I'd say, you know what, that actually doesn't do anything, right? Because I just stick it in the oven and leave it there. I don't baste it.
No, you don't.
But 62% answered that they do baste all day, baste all night.
I feel like that is the typical answer.
Yeah. I don't think it actually does anything, especially because most of the turkeys you buy in the store now are kind of pre-basted. They're injected with salt water. So I don't think it does much. Although I do rub the outside with butter. And the main reason I do that is because it makes it a beautiful golden brown.
Oh, yeah.
And I like that. All right. Do you call it stuffing or dressing?
Stuffing. It's disgusting, though.
Like it. And 90% say it's stuffing, duh. 10% say it's definitely dressing.
Stuffing is... You know what stuffing is?
Delicious.
Moist, celery-flavored bread.
Stuffing is delicious.
I feel really strongly about this. It's moist, celery-flavored bread.
I like stuffing.
Does that sound good? Do you want to eat moist
Again,
celery bread?
Stuffing is another carb. Basically, everything but the turkey itself is
moist
a carb.
Moist, celery bread. That's literally... I don't understand why people like it.
It's all about the carbs.
No, all but right. That's a carb that's not worth it. Why would you take up space on your plate with that when you can have, like... sweet potatoes with marshmallows on top.
Next question. Whatever you call it, what do you make it with? Regular bread, cornbread, something even more exotic. Oh, that's the stuffing. Do you make stuffing or
I have no idea.
Dressing?
I never
do you make
eat
it with regular
so
bread,
gross.
Cornbread, or something more exotic?
What do you make it with, Dad?
Regular bread. I've done cornbread before, and it's good, but I use the regular stuffing. Next one. What is your plate attack strat? I assume they mean strategy.
It's and young people a talk, slang word.
Young people speak. What is your plate attack strat? The options are eat one thing at a time, saving the best for last. Eat the best thing first in case you run out of stomach space. Eat food separate, but take bites from everything in turn. Mix everything together, free for all.
Somewhere in between the free for all and eating them separate.
I mean, I eat... I don't necessarily have to keep them separate, but I take bites from everything in turn. So
it
evens out.
I like to sometimes mix some of it in the middle. I don't know. I guess separate.
I do like mixing like the gravy into the stuffing and the potatoes and the turkey.
I like turkey and cranberry sauce
and then the cranberry sauce on top.
Gravy.
So I do kind of like mixing it.
It's not a free-for-all.
No, it's not a free-for-all.
That's disgusting. Like,
keep food separate, but take bites from everything in turn was 59%.
Is that what you put?
That's what I put. Although I do like mixing the cranberry sauce with the gravy.
It's like with a sliding
scale,
and the
potatoes.
I like doing like well, I used to always mix my cranberry sauce and potatoes together when I was little because it made like pink polka dotted mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. But
which kind of mashed potato, this is the next question. Which kind of mashed potatoes is your true potato love? Fluffy mountain, creamy and swirly. There's pictures if you want to look. Cheesy and tangy, or garlicky smashed.
Hang on, let me look at these. It's not the cheesy.
It's not the garlicky.
It's not the garlicky. Either, huh? I guess the creamy swirly.
Creamy and swirly because it's got a big old lump of butter in the middle of it. Mashed potatoes with a lot of butter.
Do you know what I've been doing for lunch lately? So I don't eat the mashed potatoes from school because they're not allowed to put salt in the things and they're disgusting. But so I have a teacher who a lot of times he'll either go to Chicken Express for lunch or which is nearby chicken chain restaurant. I don't know if they have that everywhere.
I think it's a Texas thing. I don't know.
I think it is because I don't think it's like a huge chain, but it is a chain. But he'll either go there for lunch or he'll send one of his students in his car to go get lunch. Like, you know, a responsible teacher, even though we're not allowed to leave campus. But and I eat lunch in the choir room, but so I eat there. But sometimes I'll just give him money and like get him be like, hey, can you get me this or whatever? But lately, since I'm not a huge fan of the chicken, I'm just beginning to get sides. So yesterday, I just had mashed potatoes for lunch, and it was really good.
Creamy and swirly mashed potatoes was the winner with 41%. For the most part, we have been in the majority here.
Yeah, but that's not a, like a straight-up majority. That's like kind of...
It was the highest vote-getter. Garlicky smashed was 25%. Fluffy mountain was 28%. Cheesy
really?
And tangy was only 6%.
I really thought fluffy mountain would be the next closest.
It was. It was 28%. Garlicky smashed was 25%.
Oh, okay.
What's your take on turkey? Turkey rules, and I wish I could eat it all year, is the first option. Second one, sometimes it's kind of dry, but whatever, it's fine. And the last one is, I would rather eat anything else in the world, TBH.
Sometimes it's dry, but it's fine, is how I feel about it.
I mean, somewhere between the first two, because I do like it. And usually my turkey is not dry. Thank you very much.
No, it's not.
But
you don't always make
the
turkey.
I wouldn't eat it all year necessarily. I like it at Thanksgiving, but I like it because it's Thanksgiving.
Now that you have the rep you do, you usually make the turkey, but you haven't always made the turkey. Like, we've sometimes had other, like, family do it.
Well, it's not, if we go over to my brother's house, then they make the turkey. It's whoever's hosting it makes it.
I'm not trying to diss if he listens. Does he listen to this podcast?
I don't know, maybe.
I think he does a little bit.
They make a good turkey, too. But
they make a good
turkey.
If
it's at our house, I'm making the turkey.
But it's not, I mean, I've had dried turkey before. I'll say that.
All right, well, let's see what the answers are.
Just an easy to dry out thing.
The most popular answer was sometimes it's kind of dry, but whatever, it's fine. 35% was the next one with turkey rules. I wish we could eat it all year. And only 13% said I would rather eat anything else in the world.
Last year on our school broadcast, it was like 2 years ago, people still talk about it because it was like, there was this girl at our school who's known for being vegan and being like really annoying about it. She's graduated now, but they did a little survey on our school's broadcast, like, do you eat turkey or ham? And the thing that everyone kept like joking about on like, I don't know, it was almost like a school meme, but she goes, I actually am vegan, so I don't eat either because they're meat. I eat tofurkey.
All right, the next one is, at what point of fullness do you stop eating? The first option is normal full. I've learned to pace myself. Second one, unbutton my pants full. Third one, can't feel my legs full. Fourth one, dead.
Dead. No, I'm kidding. Unbutton pants.
Yes, that's my answer. Unbutton my pants full.
I think that's going to be the majority.
And that is the majority by far. It's 52%. My strategy is eat until you're really pretty uncomfortably full.
And then
go away
more.
For a couple of hours and then come back and have more. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You gotta like do it in shifts.
And maybe get a couple of pieces of pie
and then
come
like,
back for more pie.
I'm okay, I can eat more. And then eat and be like, oh, I really regretted that. I shouldn't have done that. And then wait a couple hours and be like, I'm okay. I can have some more.
Speaking of pie, the next question is, how many pies is the correct number of pies?
Oh.
First answer is one pie. Then two pies. Three pies, seven pies, 69 pies, and 420 pies.
Seven.
Seven is the right answer, I think.
I think we've definitely gotten more than that before, but...
That's about what we do for, like, two families. Sometimes it's eight or nine.
Maybe closer to, like, nine.
But it's not... It's not 69. It's not 420. 69. But it's definitely more than three. Three is not enough pies. Because no. You can't even cover all the pies. You've got to have at least one pumpkin. You've got to have like a banana apple. Cream or a coconut cream or both. You've got to have an apple. You've got to have a pecan.
Cherry's usually there.
You make an excellent pecan pie.
I do.
Pie.
I make the best pecan pie. If anyone's wondering.
You can't cover all the pies with just three pies.
I've made a pecan pie every year since I was 11. Good
number. Seven's a pretty good number. And only 9% said that, though. Three was the highest vote getter at 39%.
Actually, I take that back. I've made a pecan pie every year since I was 10.
Oh, and a buttermilk chess pie.
There must be a buttermilk chess pie.
So, yeah, I mean, you can't cover all the pies.
10 years old is when I made my first pecan pie. And I only make it at Thanksgiving, pretty much. But
all right, we're in the snap decision round.
It's the only pie that Mom will eat.
The snap decision round.
Pecan pie.
This is an either or.
Oh, yeah, either or.
Marshmallows or pecan stuff on your sweet potatoes?
Marshmallows, although Mom doesn't make it that way.
Mom doesn't like marshmallows. We have pecan stuff. And only 42% said pecan stuff. 58% said marshmallows. The
marshmallows are so much better, though. It's delicious and amazing and underrated. Maybe I'll make one with marshmallows this year. Just to spite her.
So if you say the way we do it with pecan stuff, marshmallows.
The wrong way. Marshmallows are so good.
I like marshmallows, but I don't like them so much that I'm going to go against your mom.
You're not willing to end your marriage over it?
No, and they're not that great. I like the pecan stuff, so too. The pecan stuff can be really good. Man. But 58% say marshmallows. Next one, dark meat or white meat?
White meat.
The options are you underestimate the power of the dark side or walk toward the light.
Anyway.
I like dark meat, but white meat, as long as it's not dry, is pretty good. White meat gets 64%. Canned or cooked cranberry sauce?
Cooked.
We do cooked. It's really easy to make and it's really good.
It was our treat yourself last year.
Cooked? Remember? It was, yeah. We did a cranberry sauce treat yourself.
It's not one of our best ones, but...
59% said cooked. 41% said canned. Pumpkin or pecan pie? And the obvious answer here is both, obviously. You can't have just one. Is it gourd-blessed pumpkin or can't live without this?
I feel like Dad should answer this because it's answering how he feels about my pie.
It's so hard because it really should be both. I mean, it should be that plus three other kinds of pies at least.
Yeah. I think pumpkin pie is a staple, though.
I think pecan is awfully good, though. You can't have Thanksgiving without pumpkin pie, but pecan pie, if it's good, is better.
I disperse pecans throughout, as well as having a layer of pecans on bottom and top.
Okay, so which one do you prefer, and which one do you think was the most popular answer?
I gotta say, I prefer pecan pie, but pumpkin pie is the answer.
You're right. So 67% said gourd bless pumpkin, and 33% said pecan.
You know why I think that
this.
Is? One, because pecan pie is kind of regional. It's more of a southern thing. Do you agree with me on that? I think it's a little more of a southern thing than it is other places.
Well, pecans are southern. But I think pecan pie at Thanksgiving is something they eat all across the country.
I do think it's a little more southern, though. And I also think pumpkin pie is the classic.
Pumpkin pie, I think, is more associated with Thanksgiving. I think you can have pecan pie at Christmas, but you're less likely to have pumpkin pie at Christmas.
But also, pecan pie can go bad easier. Like, it can be badly done easier. Like, Mom does not like any pecan pie except mine.
Yeah, she doesn't like it when it has, like, lots of kind of the...
like, gelatinous
gooey
type.
Gelatinous stuff.
Well, no, mine's gooey, but it's gooey instead of being
gelatinous and gelatinous. And it has the nuts throughout it, is what you do well.
Yeah.
And it also has a hint of cinnamon. Exactly.
That's my trick.
So that is our dad quiz.
Dad quiz.
That's pretty good.
All right, we've just got one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
So I noticed at the grocery store, they have started to roll out Christmas versions of foods.
You really said that just as eloquently as you could.
I know, it's late.
Seasonal
I'm tired. We have Christmas versions of Nabisco crackers.
Huh.
I don't know whether these are good or not.
Does it say what, but we like, have how? Oh.
Nutmeg and cinnamon Triscuits.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
It does. I'm going to give not, it. It might be good. We'll see.
I've got to say I don't like Triscuits to begin with, so I'm a little bit biased.
Nutmeg and cinnamon Triscuits, and we have fudge-covered Ritz.
That looks good.
Ritz crackers covered in fudge.
That looks like a great
this
idea.
This kind of doesn't look good to me. But we'll see. I don't know. I'm kind of, I could go either way on either one of these.
Although it'd be better if it had a little caramel in it.
I could go either way on any of these. And is fudge, sometimes I don't know what they mean by fudge. Is it chocolatey or is it just kind of?
Okay, like fair point there. And that
is it just kind of
fudge
sweet?
Just means like weird waxy chocolate coating.
Yeah.
But real fudge is a delicious delicacy.
Let's settle this. William, you want to join us? William just came in from the other room. He was doing his homework. I'll open your mic. Point your mic at you.
Okay. It is pointed at me.
All right. We're going to try the fudge-covered Ritz first. Well, I need to take a picture of these.
I think the fudge-covered Ritz sounds really good, as long as it's not still like salty or anything.
I apologize for the amount of yawning that's probably in this podcast.
Yeah, we established up front we're both super tired. It also, if what we're saying, the words coming out of our mouth don't make any sense.
Well, also, I think I might have gotten a little better throughout the podcast, but at the beginning I was really struggling with enunciation. Like, I sounded like I still sound like I'm, like, eating cotton or something.
Yeah, I stayed up until midnight writing an essay, so.
And I stayed up till midnight.
I always
because
sound like
you were
that, so.
Writing an essay.
My normal sleep schedule is about 1 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Yeah, so let's try this out. I'm going to mute the mic so we don't chew into them. Here we go. All right, so my conclusion is, I mean, it's not bad.
I think good. They taste like chocolate logs.
I have two things
like
to say.
Girl Scout cookies.
One, they don't taste like chocolate logs. One,
well, if
I
they
wish,
had peanut butter, they might.
Well, yeah.
The fudge tastes like the fudge on a tag along.
And like the texture is the same. Mm,
okay, one, I wish it was saltier, just a little bit. Oh, it's really good. Two, are you sure these are Christmas season?
Yeah, they were with all the Christmas season Nabiscos. They were next to them.
Oh, okay.
It says limited
well,
edition.
It just says limited edition. They don't say anything about...
Yeah, I mean, they don't have like Christmas trees on them or something. The one drawback of them is when you bite into them, they make you instantly super thirsty.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, pairs well with milk.
Delicious.
And a lot of cookies do that.
But despite that, I'm going to say I think they're delicious.
Yum,
yum, yum, yum, yum. Delicioso.
All right, we have a consensus that the fudge covered Ritz. And by the way, Henry joined us. That's why there are four voices now. We have a consensus. Fudge covered Ritz are delicious.
Five voices.
They're basically candy. All right, the other thing is. And this one
that looks
is
gross.
Very iffy.
I don't want to eat this one.
It is limited edition Triscuit, nutmeg and cinnamon. Nutmeg and cinnamon flavored Triscuits.
I mean, the pairing they have on the front looks good. They got a little, I'm going to say it's pimento cheese just because that'd be really good with a pecan and what would be better is a pear slice probably.
Well, you know what they say it is. They've got it on the side of the box. It is sweet potato mash. Apple slice, and a candied pecan.
Yeah, but it'd be better with pimento cheese.
I think you're right. Pimento cheese would be better.
They should hire me.
I still
can't because I don't think you should. I think it needs a little bit of savory in there.
Yeah. I can't tell if it's savory or sweet, or it's supposed to be.
All right, let's try this. I will say Triscuit is one of my favorite crackers, but I've never had nutmeg and cinnamon Triscuits before. All right, I'm passing around some crackers. Then I'm going to mute the mics.
You know,
what do we think?
It's not that it tastes bad.
It is.
It just tastes wrong.
It reminds me of those pumpkin spice popcorn that we had a few episodes ago.
Oh, I never tried that. I just bought it for you guys to try.
It wasn't good.
It smells
horrible. Yeah, I didn't
think
it would be.
Horrible.
I think this is fine, though. It's not delicious,
it just tastes
but
wrong.
I think it's...
No, I agree with that it's okay.
I would say it's meh.
Meh. M-E-H. Meh.
I just feel like it's, but in and of itself, there's nothing about the taste like disgusting. Like I want to spit this out. It just tastes wrong.
A little bit. What do you think, Henry?
I think it does taste slightly wrong, but I think the flavor itself, not really the aftertaste as much, but the flavor itself while you're biting into it and like tasting it in your mouth, that's good. But the aftertaste is eh.
I don't think I would eat this even if I was hungry, but it's not like completely disgusting.
If I had a bunch of cheese, particularly pimento cheese,
or like,
I'd probably
I'm
eat the whole
you,
box.
Pimento cheese.
Yes,
you know,
No, it has like a, but yeah. It has this like weird sweet thing to it, so it doesn't.
It work. Does well because the nutmeg and cinnamon you associate usually with sweet things.
Well, and it is sweet, but it's not, a little bit. I mean, but it's
is
not
it sweet. It's not very sweet. It's just a tiny bit sweet if it is.
But it's yeah. not like.
I don't see any sugar in the ingredients.
But it's not like a sugary sweet.
It has a sweet,
sweet
aftertaste.
Like, no, there is a brown sugar. It's like way down the ingredients light.
Yeah, it's list, like a hint of brown sugar, but it's weird.
It's not like
yeah. It's just the flavors just don't work together. Like I'm just not a fan.
I think
it's
I would rather have a regular Triscuit.
It's not like a sugary
I don't even
sweet.
Like regular Triscuits.
It's not like a sugary sweet. It's like
oh, I like Triscuits.
It's like a
it's like eating
it's
cake.
Like it's like as sweet as like a waffle or something.
Yeah.
Or shredded wheat. So. Eating plain shredded wheat.
That's maybe right. Like I don't know. It's like that type of like in the same way that like dates aren't like sugary sweet but still sweet.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
It's,
this is different.
I think it's okay. No one thought it was delicious. No one thought it was gross, though, right?
No, everybody I didn't think it was gross. It's not like spit out of your... I want to spit this out of my mouth gross. It's like, that doesn't seem right, and I don't necessarily want to eat it.
Yeah. So that is our podcast for today. Thank you, Phoebe, for podcasting with me.
You're welcome.
Thank you, boys, for joining us for Treat Yourself.
You're welcome.
And if you are listening, thank you for listening, and let us know that you're listening. We would very much like to hear... what you like about the podcast, how you found out about us, some things you can do to help us out. Tell your friends, tell everyone you know that there's this great podcast and you like to listen to it.
If you want to hire one of those planes that writes things as Skywriters, if you want to hire one of those, talktodadpodcast.com.
Yeah, talktodadpodcast.com. I know it's kind of a lot for skywriting, but we would appreciate it. But something easier you can do than that that's actually really simple is go onto iTunes and write us a 5-star review. That helps a lot to spread the word. Or if you just want to rate us, we really like it when we get a 5-star rating. If you want to reach out to us, you can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Talk to Dad Podcast. You can find us at Twitter. You can tweet us at TTDPodcast on Twitter. Thank you very much. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for